Last night I went along and saw the Senator, the leader of the Greens, Senator Bob Brown, address a public meeting. Bob Brown spent yesterday touring James Price Point. He met with the KLC and he joins me in the studio this morning. Good morning.
Morning, Robert.
Senator Brown, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Excellent.
It's great being here. I wish I could stay.
It's one of the nice attractive parts of this area is that people do enjoy being here.
Yeah.
What did you discover? What were the primary things you discovered yesterday?
Well, that what a magnificent, I mean, it's renewal for me. What a magnificent place the Kimberley is. I went out to James Price Point yesterday with Elder Joe Rowe and his other members of the traditional owners. Spoke with the Kimberley Land Council yesterday afternoon. We also flew over the peninsula out as far as the mouth of the Fitzroy, which I rafted down with the Bunuba people back in 1998. Because there's a prospect of coal mining out that way. But back to James Price Point, it is a magnificent place. The Premier says it's unremarkable. But as I said at the meeting last night, that's the sign of an unremarkable Premier. It is a magnificent place by any standard, scenically, environmentally, but in the sense of human heritage. You can't help but be gripped by it there. And I'm very grateful to my hosts for giving me an insight into that. By the way, on the way we visited the monsoon vine thickets, which are very rare, very confined. These are relic rainforests. And this plant is going to be lobbed right on one of the most important areas of that vine thicket with huge impacts on that particularly rare ecosystem right on the coast north of Broome.
So for the record, what exactly is the Greens' position, the federal Greens' position on the gas plant in James Price Point?
Well, two things. We're opposed to it being brought ashore at that place. We are aware there are alternatives, which I don't think have been properly... There was one of those on the front page of the Broome Advertiser yesterday. I don't think they've been properly examined. The people on the Kimberley Land Council have to be respected for the decisions they're making as they go along. However, compulsory acquisition from Perth is anathema to everybody I've spoken to. And I believe whatever the outcome here, the Chevron, Woodside, Shell, BHP, Billiton, these mega corporations with their multi-billion dollar annual, multi-hundred billion dollars in some cases, annual profit line, ought to be giving a percentage of the profits they make from exploitation of the offshore riches to the indigenous people of the Kimberley. I don't think that should be tied to it coming ashore at a particular point because that's blackmail.
Okay. Now, you met with the KLC yesterday, and I think this is one particular area which is quite interesting because if you do oppose it, you'd be aware that there's plenty of traditional owners of that area who actually want to see it go ahead.
That's right.
So how do you reconcile their wishes with the fact that you don't want it to go ahead? How do you work out the fact you've... I mean, obviously the Greens have a strong history of Indigenous rights. How is it... Why is it okay to ignore their rights if they want it to go ahead?
Well, there is opposing opinions within the Indigenous community, and I respect that. There is within all communities. And there is on all these issues. I mean, I'm flying back today to deal with a huge issue of the Tasmanian forests, which divides the community enormously. But I, as I said at the meeting last night, I am aware that the planet is in great trouble. And the question is, are we going to turn everywhere in Australia, including the Kimberley, into a giant quarry? I have read what the Premier has had to say. This perhaps the world's largest gas processing work, with all the aerial pollution, as well as the impact on the land and the ocean that comes from that, is just the start. It's being seen as an industrial hub for much more. Is the Kimberley going to be turned into a industrial area rather than one of the last great natural and human heritage areas in the planet, which is its future fame and fortune? There is no doubt, just listening to people in the Indigenous community, they are not given the opportunity that other entrepreneurs can walk to a bank and get money to invest in the growing wealth that will come from the Kimberley being kept in as a national and I think potentially World Heritage Area. But and World Heritage Areas in Australia already produce $16 billion worth of business per annum. The little one in Tasmania, $200 million per annum, with a lot of jobs attached to that. And as we get an increasingly populated world, that's going to become much more the a premium in terms of job creation and business. But it requires government to be assuring the Indigenous people that they're not going to have to depend on private enterprise to be able to go ahead with business. That's why I say it's very clear here that these giant corporations should be tackled by state and federal government and told it doesn't matter where you put the gas plant, and it shouldn't go at James Price Point, you will give a premium, a percentage, of the $165 billion coming out of this gas process, ought to be going to the traditional owners of the Kimberley.
I'm speaking to Senator Bob Brown, the leader of the Greens. I just want to return to that point one more time because I think it is an interesting part of it. And by opposing this gas hub, are you not effectively running roughshod over the people, the traditional owners, who actually want it here, though? I mean, we often hear leaders saying, I respect people's decisions or respect people's opinion, but it doesn't make any difference. And so how do you reconcile that problem when you've got people up here who you strongly represented in the past who may want this, who actually do want this to go ahead? And you would have heard that from the KLC in the meeting.
Yes, but you're indicating that this is one side and it's not.
I'm indicating that it's several sides, and I'm trying to work out what I'm asking you is, when you met with the KLC yesterday, after the point of compulsory acquisition was initiated, the KLC were representative of the traditional owners of that area, and there was a majority who were for it. That's what we were told. So what I'm saying is, if they were for it, and you're opposing it, are you really taking respect of the ideas or the thoughts of those people?
Let's put back to the question to you then, and to the people who have been negotiating here. If the amount, and we don't know what it is, that's going to the Indigenous people through negotiations with the KLC is forthcoming anyway, and government should ensure that, is then there going to be insistence that it come ashore at James Price Point? I don't think so. Although there is an argument there that's where the jobs will be created, and better here than somewhere else. As I pointed out last night, we have similar divisions over a pulp mill in Tasmania. Everything is world's best practice. Everything is going to bring a change for the better for the local people because the corporations argue that. My experience around the world is that there is no mega project like this that's ended up well for traditional owners and Indigenous people. And I'm willing to be corrected on that, but I don't know of it. And I've travelled a lot in South America, in Asia and elsewhere, and I believe that it's up to governments, and we elected politicians have a right to eyeball these big corporations who are going to make hundreds of billions, for example, out of this one project, and say to them, if you're going ahead with that, you give back in fair percentage, why not 10%, to the people whose original bounty this is. It's their seas, it's their land, it's their coastline. But I haven't seen the gumption coming from Premier Barnett, for example, to ensure that representation for Indigenous people, so they didn't have to be divided over James Price Point. But as an environmentalist, and as a fella who's had a lot of experience with these big projects coming with a lot of promise, they turn out badly. For the go down the coast to Karratha and see if that's really what's wanted in terms of social advancement for Broome. I'd be very worried about that. And there are a lot of other factors about this proposal, like the very toxic, carcinogenic aerial pollution that's going to come out of this mega factory, and the impact of that on not just the locality, but the people who live within range of that aerial pollution. I don't think this has been looked at and openly and analysed by everybody who's going to be involved. My view is that there are better alternatives, and it's up to us as politicians to ensure that the corporations go where the the best analysis is for the wider community, not where they determine they will go. And I think Premier Barnett and his compulsory acquisition shows this, has made a decision which is going to end up, if it were to go ahead, leaving enormous heartache in the future for the region.
I want to talk about one other issue before we finish up, and I know we're going to run out of time. You're aware of the plans for an open cut. Ray Resources are talking about an open cut coal mine being proposed near the Fitzroy River.
Yes, we flew over that area yesterday.
What's your position on that one?
That is a horror show. I've been a lot involved now with the open cut coal mines in Queensland, which is the biggest coal exporting province anywhere in the world. And that's directly threatening the Great Barrier Reef. Coal mining in Australia has 30,000 jobs. The Great Barrier Reef alone, another natural area, has 63,000 jobs and will be dead by mid-century on current projections because of coal mining, essentially, because of the impact of climate change, but more insidious, acidification of the ocean. The carbon dioxide goes up, it comes into the ocean, it turns the ocean more acidic, and by mid-century that will be too much for the coral polyps to be able to reproduce. By the way, translate that directly to the coral reefs fringing this region right through to Ningaloo, because the impact is coming through coal mining. And those coal mine prospectors out there at the in the central Kimberley by the Fitzroy are not going to pay a cent, they don't think, for that pollution and what great economic minds like Sir Nicholas Stern for the World Bank tell us will be up to a 20% loss of gross national product and gross planetary product for our grandchildren trying to deal with the cost of climate change. Now, it's time we change that, and that's why we're in negotiation with the Gillard government to get a carbon price, which will make a very big difference and should do to prospects like that mine or that mining proposal by the Fitzroy.
Finally, Senator Brown, you mentioned the Labor government there. Since the election, you found yourself in a very powerful position, to be blunt. And are you going to be able to, with your new alliance with the Labor Party, are you confident that the Greens are going to be able to maintain their core ideals, the things they've always believed in a situation where you may need to compromise? I mean, marriage is about compromise, isn't it? And are you willing, or is there a chance the Greens are going to be compromising to an extent that they won't be recognisable as the Greens that they once were?
Well, I'm here talking with you about an issue which is going to be a very difficult one for the Gillard government, and ultimately the buck will stop with the Minister for the Environment and the Cabinet in Canberra. I think the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition, Tony Abbott, and all involved in that decision should come here and see what's at stake and talk with all the stakeholders before then. But that said, the answer to that is, well, that's why I am a Member of Parliament and Leader of the Australian Greens. We don't accept the industrialisation of the 20th century rolling straight through and going to its pretty ugly conclusion. We human beings are innovative. We're on a fantastic little planet. We just in this region, you can see the glory, the beauty, and the fabulous human heritage that we share on this planet. We need that for our future. Wealth is about more than money. It's about living with oneself. It's about honouring the planet that sustains us, and the human heritage which has been handed to us. And I think we could learn a lot more from First Australians about relationship with Earth, about relationship with environment, if we're going to be able to sustain ourselves into the future. My answer to you is, yes, politics is a tough business. We're there because we're empowered because the people of Australia, and that includes a very big increased vote in this region, voted for us. We now have two West Australian senators back in the Parliament and a team of 10, and we're into the lower house. We'll use that the best we can to ensure that there's a happier future for this country, and it isn't just Quarry Australia. We need mining, but it needs to be regulated and it needs to be in the service of the people, not just the profit line of big corporations centred in London or Tokyo or Beijing or wherever it might be.
Senator Brown, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.